This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio at the Royal Opera House in central London at the general rehearsal of the Royal Ballet's production of Cinderella for an insight into what goes into making a production like Cinderella accessible to blind and partially sighted people through the provision of audio described performances.
I'm Julia Grundy. I'm one of the audio describers for this production of Cinderella, and we've also started audio describing operas as well as other ballets here at the Royal Opera House.
I'm Jane. I'm the other describer working in the second half of Cinderella. And yes, we often do work in twos on the opera and on the ballets.
So when did your first, I suppose, connection with Cinderella come? I mean, how early do you get to work on a production like this? Is it sort of at the early stages when the Royal Ballet are thinking about their productions, or is it, say, a month or a few weeks before the general rehearsal that we've got today, Julia?
When we've done audio introductions, our first contact with the ballet has been the general rehearsal, and we've worked entirely from that. Now we are doing proper audio descriptions. The contact starts a lot earlier, and the possibility of contact is there from rehearsals, and we get sent lots more resources, pictures. We get sent previous recordings, if there are those recordings. So we work really from, I suppose, as soon as it starts going into rehearsal, really.
And Jane, do you get like a video and stuff and things?
We do, and it's excellent quality, which really helps. And I think we had Cinderella several weeks in advance, didn't we? And I certainly started working on it, I think, at the end of October. So that's about 5 weeks before this interview, doing it in bits because we have to work around different other jobs that come in for us. And I found it was really good doing it in bits because you can think about it in between.
Just to say that I totally agree with Jane, that I find one of the things about audio description is if you have the time to do a bit and then go away and allow your thoughts to develop, it's a great help, especially with ballet.
And I suppose for myself, as somebody, a blind or partially sighted person who's been to a lot of audio described performances, there's sort of like a free stage. You've got the introductory notes that you get in advance, which are recorded, and you can also read in text and stuff and things like that, where you get sort of descriptions of the characters, the costumes, the set and the synopsis and that kind of thing. And then we have the wonderful touch tour, which is so amazing because you get to go onto the stage and explore the set and props and handle the props and costumes and maybe sometimes meet some of the dancers or cast, and then the live audio description or recorded description as it is now. Is that how it works for you? Do you do the introductory notes first, then think of the touch tour and then work on the description for the performance?
I think that it can work that way, but it's different with every production, I would say, and that I'm including in drama in this as well. It very much depends on how you approach the production first. Probably, actually, the touch tour would come a bit later. Once we've worked through, in my case, once we've had a look, I do like to write the introduction first because it then helps to write the actual description. But I think the touch tour, from our point of view, is a question of thinking what we would like to have on the touch tour, if it's possible. And those sort of thoughts really start occurring once you've worked through the ballet and seen what's really important on the stage.
And Jane, is that something that you sort of work with the company on the touch tour and thinking about props and costumes?
Well, I think shortly before the touch tour arrives, we do always contact hopefully the stage manager and discuss what we can have and give a wish list.
And as for me, as for somebody, as I say, I've been to many audio described performances over the years. I've been to drama, I've been to comedy, I've been to musicals, I've been to opera, and I've been to lots of ballet and dance as well. And for a describer, it must be one of the toughest and possibly hardest things to do to describe dance, because for me as a, you know, audience member, I don't have the dialogue. I'm just relying on your great audio description, and I'm relying on the movements that the ballet dancers are making and how that's being described, and obviously the way the production looks and the wonderful music, Prokofiev's wonderful score to Cinderella. Is ballet and dance really quite hard to describe, Julia?
Yes, I think it's probably one of the hardest things, and certainly from a personal point of view, I stuttered at the very beginning years ago and at one point said I never want to see a ballet or work on a ballet ever again. It was only something I came to more gradually later, and actually it's something that I enjoy doing. I should think it's one of the top two or three things that I enjoy describing. I find it immensely rewarding, and it's made me appreciate the skill and sheer beauty of ballet all the more. Yes, but it is very hard work because you have to write so much.
And do you get a chance to sort of think about how you're going to deliver that script? Does the sort of way the dancers are moving, does that affect your delivery, Jane?
Enormously. I think it's probably the area of audio description where delivery matters the most. The ballet describers that I have heard that I really admire just get right in behind the music, and the music dictates and the movement dictates the way in which you use your voice so that you can lift up if that happens and just really move and breathe with what is going on. I think it's enormously rewarding because actually I was thinking about this. For ballet, it's almost as if a describer who is normally in the shadows has to step forward a bit without speaking too much, but what you say is up there with the music, not as important, but you have to put more of yourself into it than you do in a play.
And do you have to be a sort of expert on ballet and dance, or does that come from the Royal Ballet and other ballet companies, Julia?
You don't have to be an expert, and I think the important thing to remember is that your audience, on the whole, aren't experts either. So it's a very fine line you have to draw as you're describing. You do want to put in some of the steps, and you do want to name some of the steps. But if you simply just went through naming the steps, it wouldn't mean anything. So we do draw a line along describing some of the steps, and we'll put in a bit of that in the introduction, and then also describe the physical shape the dancer makes. So we have to find a good balance, a balance with that, and it's very important to do that, because if you'd never put any of the steps in, you could be describing simply anything. So you do have to bring the ballet, the physicality in, but also allow your audience to understand what shape the dancers are making.
And that must be the sort of slightly hardest thing to do, I suspect, Jane, to get that sort of feel and what the movements are across in your description.
I think it's one of the reasons I said that it's useful to do ballet in short bursts with long gaps in between, because it's the sort of thing you wake in the middle of the night and you think, ah, that's it. Yes, that thing I've been trying to grasp, that movement I couldn't get words for. It's very difficult. It stretches. I find it stretches me enormously compared with things like plays.
Also, the role of the touch-store is often more important in ballet, even more than some of the dramas, because quite often with some companies, we will have dancers who will come and explain what they do and often will demonstrate the shapes they make, and the audience can feel them and feel, say, the shape of an arabesque or an attitude, or perhaps experience somebody doing a jeté, a big leap straight past them. That's a great help. That's a great help, and it really brings it to life.
Yeah, I've been on workshops where I've been actually made to do various movements, and that's not a pretty experience, but it's good to have them because you do get a sense of how the dancers are moving. And we're obviously here today for the general rehearsal of Cinderella. And I suppose for you both, that's a bit of a dry run, a time to practice your script, to check the timings and everything else. How does that sort of work? Are you listening into each other and that kind of thing, Julia?
Yes, that certainly is. And we will listen to each other. We take notes for each other. And also we have our friend Ellie here who will be listening in the auditorium, and she will also make notes for us. Also, because you think a ballet might not change, but it does. And so little changes that perhaps we weren't aware of from the last performance, say, 2 years ago, we will make changes so that bring the ballet right up to date. And it's very different when you see it live. Things that you saw on the recording you thought perhaps you could describe or didn't have to describe, you suddenly realise you do when you see it live. So the dry run is really important.
And I suppose, Jane, you're splitting the sort of the different acts up between yourself and Julia, so you've got time to sort of, I suppose, do your description, because it must be quite hard if you're having to do three acts.
Well, in fact, we're splitting the description in the middle of the ballet, in the middle of an act, because that's the obvious place to do it, we think.
I think it's, in this case, it's a place where we feel that there's two halves in Cinderella's life, and it's the moment she arrives at the ball where we're swapping, and it's where her world changes, and it seemed a sensible place to swap our voices to.
And sometimes I know the sort of dry run gets filmed and recorded. Will that be the same for this one, and will you be able to go back over that and check things, Jane?
We'll need to do that, and we hope to get the recording the next day after the general rehearsal, and then we'll have to go over our scripts again and look again and make all the changes we want to make. So we don't just have each other's notes. We do have the recording, which is going to be very helpful, I think.
And I suppose another added thing with the description here at the Royal Opera House and Royal Ballet, a lot of them are being recorded and then available at other performances after the live audio described performance. Do you look at your description in a way that knowing that it's going to be recorded, Julia?
Yes, we do. When we first approached this plan, there was a thought that we might do two different descriptions for the digital description and the live, but actually the way it's turned out, we do the same description. We obviously mark up our scripts differently, the way we record. And in fact, once we have this recording, which, as Jane says, we have to get pretty much the day after, because we will then be doing our digital recording the day after that, so in 2 days' time. So we have to have our script ready for that. And then after that, every performance will have a digital audio description. There will be the live description for one performance, but the rest will all have a digital audio description.
And that's great for the blind and partially sighted people who can't come to that live audio description performance, Jane, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. They will miss out on the touch tour, but it's an excellent way to just dictate when you want to come to the ballet rather than the ballet dictating when you go.
And what would you want blind and partially sighted people and their friends and family, because the whole thing about coming to an audio described performance is you come with friends and family who are sighted as well. What would you like people to come away with from experiencing Cinderella with audio description, Julia?
I hope they would experience the joy of this production. It's a really vivid production. It's full of colour and beautiful dancing. And I hope they would come away with a real feel of the almost cinematic colour of the production and Frederick Ashton's wonderful choreography, which is so precise and really classic.
And also the music. I hope they want to know more about the music too, and maybe get a recording for themselves.
Well, it's almost time for the general rehearsal, and Julia and Jane, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm now joined by Anya Capture, who is the administrative producer here at the Royal Ballet. Anya, would you just sort of explain what your role is and I suppose how you sort of are working with making the ballet accessible?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work on a team of producers at the Royal Ballet, and the main focus of my work is the Limbury Theatre and also our choreographic projects. So in the producing team, we take a production from its first moment of inception all the way through the creative process to finally seeing it on stage, which means that accessibility is a really key part of what we do. It's really important that we are advocates for that along the way. It's a complex journey, but we do get there, and I think we've been able to do some very exciting things with it, particularly over the past 12 months. I'm a real believer in the fact that our approach to access should be a creative one, it should be an exciting one, and that whatever strategies we're employing to make a production accessible, the access support that we put in place should really lend itself to the world of the show and give patrons who are using that access support a real insight into the world in which that production is taking place.
Audio description has become very creative. We've got audio description that's, I suppose, immersed into the sort of soundtrack of various productions. We've got audio description that's very immersive. So there's audio productions that are mainly sort of audio, but there's a bit of description in there. So audio description can be very creative, obviously, for a production like Cinderella, which we're seeing today, in a way that's somewhat in a sort of traditional audio description, but there's other ways of providing access, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a really good example of that is Dark with Excessive Bright, which is a production that we put on in February of 2024. And we worked with a wonderful, wonderful artist. Her name is Devon Healy. She's an assistant professor of disability studies at the University of Toronto. She is an actor and a writer and just an absolute fantastic human all round, to be honest with you. And she's also blind. I didn't mention that, but it's probably quite a key important aspect, I suppose. So we worked with Devon to create the audio description for Dark with Excessive Bright. And the key thing around how Devon is working on audio description is that she is someone who is blind, doesn't necessarily want to be filled in on the sighted experience. And actually, within audio description, she wants to be led by blindness and for her experience as a blind person to be very much forefront of that. So what Devon wrote for the audio description was very much about her experience of the dance. It was about conversations that she had with the dancers about how it felt to perform that show. It was informed by conversations she had with the choreographer and the time that she spent in the studio with the choreographer whilst he was creating the work and listening to the language that he used to prompt the dancers to create the outcome that he wanted. And what came out of that was a really beautiful, poetic, incredibly rich tapestry of language that wasn't necessarily your traditional audio description, but actually was a work of art in its own right. So that's sort of what we're working on here at the Royal Ballet, is thinking more creatively about how we approach audio description in a way that gives audiences with low or no vision an equally special experience as people who do have their sight. And to take it even a step further than that, we would love it if those resources were something that everybody wanted to tap into. And what Devon created for Dark with Excessive Bright was so beautiful that people wanted to listen to it regardless of whether they were sighted or not.
I suppose that's the beauty of it, isn't it? You've got something that's fair for everybody. Everybody can listen to it and everybody get that extra thing. Because I do think, as a blind person who's been to many audio described theatre performances, that we do get that sort of extra bit. And for Cinderella, I believe you're listening into the general rehearsal, which is a bit of a dry run for Julia and Jane's description tonight. Will you be sort of providing them with any support afterwards or any feedback on their description?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Cinderella, I'm coming in as a bit of an outside eye, I suppose. So I haven't been working on Cinderella. It's actually one of my colleagues, one of the other producers that's been taking care of this show. But because my background is in dance originally, and I have quite a good knowledge of the terminology of the language that we use when we describe dance, and because I'm a fresh pair of eyes sitting in the theatre and experiencing the show, I'm going to listen into that dry run this evening and just make notes, feedback, etc., for the audio describers, so that we can make sure that what we're putting out when we come to those audio described performances is just as helpful as possible and enjoyable as possible for those patrons that are accessing that service.
And I suppose that's the slightly difficult thing for the describers in a way, is describing the ballet moves in terminology and language that a dancer would recognise, but also for somebody like me who's not a dancer and hasn't done really much dancing, but to get that sort of balance across, which must be tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And I think it's a very fine balance to strike, for sure. I think there are certainly words in ballet terminology that you'd recognise more than maybe you'd think, actually, as someone that isn't an expert in ballet. If I were to say a pirouette, I think you'd probably know that it was a turn of some description. So it's really about striking that balance and making sure that we are giving people a flavour of the beautiful French language that we use in the studio to create ballets, and giving audiences that extra little bit of something, you know, when they're listening, that little that extra information, without it being so complex and so...
I suppose so technical in a way, perhaps.
Yeah, that it can be quite alienating, actually, if you take it too far. What we have found that gives quite good feedback is when we select a small handful of terms, of terminology, when it comes to doing audio description, and especially when they relate to key motifs or moments within the ballet that tend to repeat themselves. So it almost becomes like a subtextual thing in itself that we know when we're seeing certain movements and you're hearing those through the audio description that you can, you know, bring that image back to your mind regularly throughout the piece.
And I suppose what would you like sort of for blind and partially sighted people to get out of coming to see Cinderella or other ballet productions with audio description, and how can they help in a way evolve and develop the audio description of ballet?
That's such a good question and such a hard one to answer. I mean, in an ideal world, I would love for blind or partially sighted patrons to get just as much from their experience as sighted patrons, if not more. I think that there's real opportunity in things like audio description, touch tours, creative captioning, you know, looking at our wider access provision. There's so much creative scope to do really exciting things. And actually, when you fully open the door to those possibilities, you create things that everyone wants a little piece of, everyone wants to experience. So yes, it makes a show more accessible, more inclusive, but equally it makes it better for everybody. And we're at the heart of pushing our art form forward, which I think is a really beautiful thing.
Well, it's not long now till the general rehearsal, but Anya, thank you very much indeed for chatting with me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been an absolute privilege. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, we are in the first interval of the general rehearsal of Cinderella between Acts 1 and 2, and I've got Kevin O'Hare, who's the director of the Royal Ballet. Kevin, I suppose a lot of work has gone into getting Cinderella to this point at the general rehearsal.
Yes, certainly. I mean, it was a new production that we premiered about a year and a half ago, and we did around the Christmas time, Easter time. And so then we thought we'd bring it back for this Christmas. So actually, as we do performances every night, we look at it and we start tweaking and tweaking. So when we started this set of rehearsals, we started from that position from last year, and now we're tweaking again, and we're nearly, I think we're not going to say we're perfect, but we always strive for perfection, but I feel we're in a good place.
I was going to ask whether there's more tweaking to be done between now and the first performance.
Yeah, always a little bit of tweaking. And tomorrow, actually, I'm excited because we have we open with a children's matinee, so for school children. And so there'll be 2,500 screaming children, but also it gives us a chance just to have one more look before the opening night tomorrow night.
And of course, Cinderella was Frederick Ashton's first production here at the Royal Ballet back in 1948, I think it was when it was premiered. And the choreography hasn't changed, but I think the set and costumes have maybe changed, and there's possibly a little bit of illusion in this production.
Yeah, exactly. We've had very many different productions of, you know, with the set and costumes of Cinderella. But I felt for this new production, we wanted to, you know, look at what people are doing in the West End with the West End shows, and I think that's maybe what audiences expect. So we got the man who helped the magic in Harry Potter, and then we got a wonderful stage designer called Tom Pye and a fantastic costume lady called Alexandra Byrne, who works in film, has worked on the Marvel films, as well as things like Emma and Mary Queen of Scots. And so the combination of all of those specialisms have brought this production back to life, I think.
And it's great that not only the Royal Ballet, but the Royal Opera House are providing lots of access. And there's obviously the general rehearsal, and Julia and Jane are sort of dry running their audio description. How embedded is audio description and access within the Royal Ballet?
Well, it's getting more and more, which I'm thrilled about. And we have not only the audio descriptions, but we have, as I just mentioned, the school's performances, but we also have relaxed performances as well. And so those are all different ways of getting people into the building who maybe felt it wasn't for them, and maybe because of certain reasons didn't know how to access it. So we're sort of accessing on every level, which is great.
And I suppose access is embedded into the company. Do the dancers know about access, and do they all sort of get a sense of how their work, how their movements are maybe being described or being BSO interpreted or captioned or that kind of stuff?
Yes, they do. And we had a smaller production actually in our other theatre, the Limbury Theatre, earlier on in the year. And that was very much a part of working with somebody who was really describing in a beautiful way what the dancers were doing in new choreography. And I think the dancers were amazed when they heard the description of how what they were doing, how that could be transcribed really for people to hear and really feel what the dancers are feeling at the time of their performances.
And the great thing for me as somebody who's registered blind coming to an audio described performance is the touch tours, you know, being able to get up onto the stage, walk around the set, have props described to me, be able to feel props and stuff and things like that. Have you been on a touch tour and have you listened in to any audio description?
Yeah, I love actually seeing people going on the touch tour. And it's quite special actually, because not many people get to do that, you know, so it's incredible to have that proximity really to the set and the costumes and all the props and everything. So I think it's a really great way to then start before the performance to get one excited and really know that what's going on stage as well. And also I've been hearing the audio description and also seeing the captions as well. We did Alice in Wonderland recently. We had the captions talking about the music as well. And we had the composer next to us, which was quite extraordinary. And he really loved it as well. So we're all on board with this. And we want to do is people to come and enjoy what we do in many different ways.
Well, we are coming almost to the next act. The interval's almost over and we'll begin to act two and act three. Is there a possibility of a snapshot from Cinderella that really sort of showcases how the dancers are moving and, of course, Prokofiev's score to it as well?
Yes, I think, it's the mixture of Prokofiev and Ashton's choreography. So Frederick Ashton, he was the most musical choreographer that we have ever had, and it's incredible the way he takes out the nuances of the score and brings it to the choreography. And so something like the stars, which are the corps de ballet that surround the seasons and Cinderella as she's going off to the ball, you really feel like they're little stars coming in and out of the world that Cinderella is in. And I think that's a really brilliant description of how they can make the world of Cinderella come true.
Well, Kevin, thank you very much indeed. I think we better go back into the auditorium, but thank you so much indeed for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
A pleasure.
For more about access at the Royal Ballet and Opera House, do visit rbo.org.uk/visit/access-at-rbo.